We'll turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. It's also found on the back of your bulletin. And follow along with me as we read from verses 13 to 25 for context. Here in 1 Peter, 1 Peter is where we're taking our theme verse for the year for this church. And so I thought it fit to select a verse for this Friday and also for Sunday. That comes from here relating to the cross and to the resurrection. And so here for tonight, 1 Peter 1, verse 19. For Sunday, we'll consider 1 Peter 1 and verse 3. But we'll start at 1 Peter 1 and verse 13 to the end of the chapter. It says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be holy, for I am holy. But if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." Our meditation for today is verse 19, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Well, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Precious, precious blood of Jesus shed on Calvary. Shed for rebels, shed for sinners, shed for you and for me. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There is wonderful power in the blood. Are you washed in the blood, the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And these are some of the hymns that we have that mention the blood. The word blood itself populates a list of the top 90 nouns, most occurring nouns in the Bible. And it appears for a total of 415 times from front cover to back cover. Now, top 70 doesn't seem like a significant portion of a list, but take note that this list contains names like nouns like God, Lord, and man. And so this stands out all the more. And so one of the references, or the first references to blood, can be found in the beginning of the Bible. You see, in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 21, after Adam and Eve had sinned, God pronounced judgment upon the woman and also upon the work of the man. And it says in Genesis 3:21, "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them." Well, it's no mention of blood per se here, but where did God find a coat of skins? It wasn't that he was walking about and there lay a nice furry coat. No, the blood of an animal had to be shed. When our text tonight 1 Peter 1 and verse 19, the word blood appears. For verse 18, it says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." But there is another word I want us to focus on tonight, and it is the word precious. But with the precious blood of Christ. This word in the Greek is timios, is where you get our name Timothy or Tim. And it's here with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now this word precious or timos appears less frequently in our English Bibles. It only appears 82 times, but is applied in many different ways. One of the ways, or these ways, is applied is to the preciousness of life. In 2 Kings 1 and verse 13, a captain goes up to Elijah and he pleads with him and he says, "O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in thy sight." And so he's pleading about this life of his men. And then the word precious is also applied to the life and death specifically of God's people. Psalm 72 and verse 14, and it says, "And precious shall their blood be in their sight." This word precious is also applied to the redemption of the soul. Likewise, is precious is applied to wisdom. In Proverbs, the book of wisdom, in Proverbs 8 verse 11, it says, "For wisdom is more precious than rubies." The word precious is also applied to the thoughts of God. Psalm 139, verse 17, "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them." This word precious is also applied to faith. This is Peter's second epistle. We're in the first epistle, but in the second epistle, chapter 1 and verse 1, the opening, the introduction says, "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." And in the same chapter of 2 Peter, chapter 1 and verse 4, it's applied to promises. "Wherefore are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these he might be partakers of the divine nature." And then back in our text tonight in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7 is applied to trials. 1 Peter 1 and verse 7, "That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." And so here, this word precious is applied in many different ways. It's applied to the communion that God's people have with one another. It's applied to prayer. It's applied to Jesus as the precious cornerstone. 1 Peter 2 and verse 6, just a chapter over, it says, "Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious." Here in our text, it is applied to the precious blood of Christ. And so firstly, I will have us see tonight that Christ's blood is precious in its estimation. Verse 18, it starts off, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." You know, diamonds, high profile, high ranking job titles, sports vehicles, your house, designer shoes, family heirlooms, watches, Fortune 500 companies, your vacation. What do all of these have in common? Well, they are esteemed to be precious in value. You know, it's thought that during a recession that precious metals hold great value, such as gold or silver. Sometimes it is thought that their value would go even up, increase. And in Peter's days, these precious metals would be very valuable as well, very precious. But you see here, in contrast to the blood of Christ, these metals hold no light. And Peter esteems that the precious blood of Christ is superior in inherent value because it involves life. You see, you need blood to sustain life. There's no life without blood. That's why God says in Leviticus 17 and verse 11, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood." And likewise, scientifically, you need blood, new blood, every 120 days just to sustain life. You see, your red blood cells has a lifespan of 120 days. And so turnover happens every day, but you can say every 6 months from now, you'll have a new set of blood that has not been circulating your blood, your body before. And so this blood is crucial to sustain our life. But what is the value of a life? If you remember, at the beginning of this pandemic, Bonnie Henry would report on the daily cases, and she would start off something like this. You know, yesterday we had 400 cases, reported cases of COVID. And at times she would also report on the number of overdose deaths in the province. And she would say something along the lines of this: you know, today we report 50 deaths due to drug overdosing, and that is 50 deaths too many. There is value in a life. We hear today of what is happening in Ukraine and those that die, young and old, and it is unnecessary bloodshed. And we are saddened because human life is precious. Life is so precious to God that one of the Ten Commandments is to protect life. Thou shalt not kill. You see, life is precious in God's sight. And so here we can see that it is precious more than just gold or silver. But notice also Peter esteems the precious blood of Christ, and that is superior in time. Not just in value, inherent value, but in time. He says in verse 18, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with," what? "With corruptible things as silver and gold." You see, although gold and silver have inherent value, Peter describes them as corruptible things. Now, this is ironic because gold itself as an element is very unreactive and resistant to acids and oxygen, that it doesn't rust. It doesn't degrade. Yet, Peter says they will eventually perish. And what Peter is alluding to here is that the blood of Christ is precious, more precious than silver and gold, which are corruptible, which perish, because the blood of Christ is so precious that it will not degrade, it will not perish. Its effect in washing away the believer's sin and clothing the believer in Christ's righteousness will never expire, it will never perish, it will never wear off, it will remain forever. And so Peter here looks at the blood of Christ and he esteems it to be precious. And so firstly, we have noted it is precious in its estimation. Secondly, it is precious in its source. It is the precious blood of not just anybody, but the precious blood of Christ. Some of you perhaps have given and donated blood before. Now, I don't recall what blood type I am, but say if I was blood type A positive, Rh positive, which is very common, the blood bank would still bank it, although it's a common blood type. and they would receive it happily. Now, if I was blood type AB negative, which is apparently the rarest blood type, one in 167 persons is of this type. If I donated this AB negative blood, then someone at the clinic might say this is extremely precious because it's rare. But you see that? You know, me donating this AB negative blood would not make the front cover of the newspaper or even the newspaper at all. But say, for instance, that the Prime Minister or the President of the United States personally flew in on his private plane. He flew into the clinic here and he donated his blood. That would be front page news. Not because, you see, the Prime Minister's blood contained more, you know, therapeutic effects than my blood, that it contains more antibodies or whatever in it, that it could cure diseases, that it was better than my blood, and it could do things that my blood couldn't. No. His blood is more valuable, more precious than mine because of his person. He's the Prime Minister or the President. He has a more prominent role to play. He's more important things to attend to than me. And so when Peter looks at Christ, the source, he says it is precious because Peter is looking at his person. And this person, Christ, is sacred, first of all. When I say sacred, I mean that Jesus is different than all of us. Jesus is set apart. He is in a different category. And this source is sacred as Christ is the Son of God. You see, God did not send another human being. He didn't send another Elijah. He didn't send another Moses. He didn't send another Abraham. He sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to be our Passover lamb. And it is precious because God himself condescended to man by taking on human flesh to be born into this world. You see, this source is sacred in his person as the Son of God. But also realize that this source is sacred in his person, not just in his deity as the Son of God, but also in his humanity as the Son of Man. You see, we know God, or Jesus, to be fully God and fully man. What that means is he's not half God, half man, 50% God, 50% man, or 90%, 99% God and 1% man, and any permutation in there. He is fully God and fully man, incomprehensible to us, but that is the truth that God's word says. And in Jesus' humanity, what does that mean? He experienced like passions as we do. He hungered, he thirsted, he got tired. And the precious thought to us is that although Christ was subject to like passions and temptations as we are, yet, he did not sin. You know, incidentally, it was Judas Iscariot, the one that betrayed Jesus, that confessed in Matthew 27 and verse 4. He says, saying, I have sinned and that I have betrayed the innocent blood, referring to Jesus. And truly, Jesus is the one that can stand before God and say he is innocent. He is sinless. You see, the source here is precious because it is sacred, but also this source is sinless. I once took a course at UBC, Earth and Ocean Science, on gold and gems, and you know this knowledge that was gained in that course was only applied a little less than 10 years later when I was looking for an engagement ring. You know, at the time I learned that the different grades of these ring or these diamonds, the different categories, you know, at the one spectrum, one end of the spectrum, you have these diamonds that are categorized as having inclusions or flaws. And then as you move along the spectrum, it gets better and better in terms of its clarity, in terms of its grade and its category. They have less flaws. So these inclusions, what they say is slightly included, very slightly included. And as you go along, it's either naked or visible to the naked or the human eye. As you move along to this flawless state, it becomes only detectable by the trained eye and even under magnification. Well, here on one end of the spectrum is the flawless category or the grade. And when we consider the source of this blood here, that is of Christ, it is of this category on this left here, of flawless nature. There is no flaw. There is no inclusion there. There's no speck of sin. He who knew no sin, as of 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he knew no sin. He was devoid of sin. Again, 1 Peter 1 verse 19 reminds us that he was without spot and blemish in this verse, with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You see, the extraordinary thing is that Christ was sinless. Not one sin, not one tiny sin, because if that were the case, if Christ were to commit a tiny sin, it would immediately disqualify from him being your Savior and mine. You see, if Jesus had one blemish on his record, his blood would not be precious enough to atone for his own sin, let alone our sin. But he was flawless. He was without flaw. He was without blemish. He was without sin. And so when Peter speaks about the precious blood of Christ, he talks about a blood that has such transcendent value and worth that is nothing like it in human history. And so the blood of Christ, we see, is precious in its estimation. Secondly, the blood of Christ is precious in its source. This source is sacred, and this source is sinless. And then lastly, the blood of Christ is precious in its substitutionary effect. In verse 18, it says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." You see, redemption in the biblical times is not, this word redemption is not like the redeeming of coupons today at grocery stores. You see, Jesus does not have a redemption code that he types into his phone and is, you know, good for 8 million Christians to go up to heaven upon payment of one sacrifice. See, biblical redemption has the idea of deliverance from bondage based on the payment of a price. And it's a biblical practice in Leviticus 25, where it's outlined at verse 47. Leviticus 25, verse 47, and I'll read it for you all. It says, "If a sojourner or a stranger wax rich by thee, and thy brother that dwelleth by him wax poor, and sell himself unto the stranger or sojourner by thee, or to the stock of the stranger's family, after that he is sold, he may be redeemed again, and one of his brethren may redeem him. Either his uncle or his uncle's son may redeem him, or any that is nigh of kin unto him of his family may redeem him, or if he may be able, he may redeem himself. And he shall reckon with him that bought him from the year that he was sold to him unto the year of Jubilee, and the price of his sale shall be according unto the number of years, according to the time of a hired servant shall it be with him." Now, let's put this in today's terms. If I defaulted on one of my debts to a bank, for example, well, according to biblical times, I could make good on that debt by selling myself as a slave to the bank for a specific period of time to pay off that debt. You know, maybe they would get me to clean the toilets for 5 years or to do all their data entry or whatnot in service of that debt. Now, if a family member saw me and they said, well, I want to redeem you, Sam, well, they would release me from that service to which I am indebted to by paying the amount that I owe for the total of the 5 years, the price. And this would be called the redemption price or the ransom price. And that would set me free. It's the idea of redemption. This idea of redemption that is found in Exodus 12 and 13, where you see the 10th plague, where the firstborn son would die unless there'd be the blood of the lamb painted on the frame of your door. It sets you free. In the subsequent Old Testament sacrifices, again, this idea of redemption where there's a requirement of a lamb without blemish, this payment to liberate you from the punishment of sin. And so year after year, on the Day of Atonement, a lamb without spot was sacrificed for their sins. And it's here we see this beautiful picture of the future substitutionary work of Christ, of Jesus, in being our Passover lamb. And as John said, that the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Also, Paul writes in Corinthians 5 and verse 7, the first epistle, he says, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. And so tonight, is the blood of Christ precious to you? There will be a point in time when you stand before the gates of heaven and the question is asked, why do you belong in here? And there is only one correct answer. It's not because on the spectrum of included to slightly flawed or to flawless, you stand on the better end of the spectrum. It's not because you can say, well, I've dedicated my life to good works. The only one answer is that you have your faith in Christ as your Passover lamb. Why? Because as the Bible states, and then the Hebrew writer says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. You see, there's no cleansing and forgiveness of sins without the blood of the lamb. There's no cleansing and forgiveness of sins without the blood of Christ. So is the blood of Christ precious to you? Tonight, if you're an unbeliever, if you do not know Christ, there is an open fountain of blood that is efficacious and sufficient. It has not run out, it has not run dry, and it is sufficient. You do not need to add to it to wash away your sins. Christ opens up his arms and he says, come unto me. Come into his open arms, trust in him, confess, repent of your sins, and trust in him as your Savior. And if you do not, well, you will incur the wrath of God. What is the wrath of God? We've had recent weeks some weird weather occurrences. Perhaps you have witnessed the thunderstorm and has taken you by surprise. And that can cause a fright in you. Well, think about the wrath of God, and it is thousands and infinitely greater that it should incur and frighten us a thousand times more. The wrath of God, we do not want it to be inflicted upon us. It is so great that upon the cross, not even the sun could shed its light. Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? This fellowship that he had with all eternity with Christ was broken because our sins were placed upon him as if he had committed those sins. Is the blood of Christ precious to you? Now, to the believer, we also see this eternal purpose of God here in verse 20, 1 Peter chapter 1, who verily, speaking of Jesus, was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Here is a great thought. Sometimes we like to think of God, he created everything in the beginning in Genesis 1, chapter 1, and then after that, Adam sinned and he had to come up with plan B and send a redeemer. Well, here is the thought that before the foundation of the world, before the world was created, God here had a vision of a redeemer. His plan was to be a redeemer before he was a creator. His redeeming purpose was not an emergency plan when all things went wrong. It goes before creation. And before creation, he planned and he chose us. He chose to die for you on the cross so that you can be saved. Christ has deemed you to be precious in his sight to save us. So the question for us tonight is the blood of Christ precious to us? Is it precious to you as the power, as the saving blood of Christ that washes away our sins? Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this sacrifice that you paid on the cross. We thank you that you have not left us as sheep, have gone astray, left us to our own devices, but you have reached out to us and brought us back into the fold. You have sent your prophets, you have sent your messengers time and time again to call us to salvation and to repentance. And so help us, dear Lord, to see this preciousness of your blood, the preciousness of your only begotten Son, the preciousness of Christ that was shed for many, and that we may have a greater appreciation of your gospel work as our great Redeemer. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.